you know what time it is. It's Friday. And you know, the more I think about it, I didn't just decide to release this show on Friday so that I can have all of the week's stories rounded up all at once or anything, or to make it easier for me to work on this throughout the week. No, I think I did it so that you can associate the best day of your work week with the best podcast of your work week. Welcome, everybody, to Permadeath Weekly. I am your host, Bill Conway. Welcome to the week of April 19th. I hope y'all had a great 4 days leading up to this episode, or if you're listening to this on Saturday or Sunday, or maybe years into the future. I hope this news finds you well, and I hope whatever I talk about today ended up all being good news. I'll tell you what else is good news. Abby, one of our co-hosts for our big behemoth of a show, Permadeath Podcast, for which, if you're a first-time listener of Permadeath Weekly, which it very, very well could be if you've clicked on this on YouTube with my enticing thumbnails that I labor over for 20 minutes, you might not realize that we have a monthly podcast that comes out, you guessed it, buddy, every month, where me, Ebby, and Kinross, two of my best friends, talk about all of the games that we've been playing for the past 30 days, deep dive, 3.5 hour, 4 hour chunks, big time meal, sit down, take a bite. She put out a video on her personal channel, all about No More Heroes, Travis Strikes Again. So that is what dictated, I don't want to use the word dictated, that sounds like I was forced to do this. No, it's dedicated. This week's track of the week was dedicated to that. It is the song Mansion from the said game, No More Heroes, Travis Strikes Again, for the Nintendo Switch. So go ahead and check her video out. It is on her YouTube channel. And I consulted her before recording this for the pronunciation of it. Alicia and Ebby, which, if you're watching on YouTube, I'll put the text of that name up, because what I say doesn't look like how it would be spelled. Yeah, so check it out. If you're a big No More Heroes fan, if you like Travis Strikes Again, or, you know, whatever, if you just want to get spoiled on a game you haven't played, go ahead and check it out. It's a real big deep dive. Worked real hard on it. Give it a click. Give it a watch. Give it an appreciation. Give it a thumbs up. That's what a thumbs up is really all about. An appreciation. Give yourself an appreciation. Watch good video content. So we got a pretty packed fucking week this week. Excuse my language. You know, you don't. I don't really know too much about podcasting, so I've been going to school for it. Night school for podcasting. And one of the first lessons they told me, we sit down and, you know, we do the whole iceberg. We got in a circle and I was like, oh, we know what's your name. You know, surprisingly, podcast college has a lot of 40 plus year old adult learners in it. A lot of people wanting to get in the podcast, because most young people are kind of versed on this stuff. I assume by age like 12, you know what I mean? But at this point, today's young people are walking podcasts. Yeah, a lot of adult learners, and one of the first lessons they said, you know, they gave us the syllabus and all that stuff, and the required reading, and surprisingly, a lot of books. I am fucking, you know, college is enough of a debt trap, but the amount of books that I've had to buy for this podcast course, wild, which I didn't even know existed. Some of these come from the 1960s, by the way. Did you know that there were podcasts in the 1960s? You do now. Look it up. Yeah, one of the first lessons was, in the first 2 minutes of your podcast, don't say fuck. And, you know, a lot of the adults giggled because, you know, they love cursing and all that stuff, you know, and these people are, you know, don't tell me not to say fuck. This is America. This is an American podcast. I'll say fuck if I want. And, you know, the professor, stern foot down, said, you can't. Not within the first 2 minutes. Wait till at least minute six. Before he started dropping the F-bomb down the bowling alley, down the lane, you know, for the strike. Otherwise, you're getting gutter balls. Anyway, first story up for the week, a big one. We're going into the next generation, everybody. We got our first details of the PlayStation 5 from the mouth of Mark Cerny himself. Now, there are plenty of shows out there, plenty of news sources, plenty of avenues, way more qualified than I am to talk specs. Okay? I don't know specs. I can, like, look at them and, like, tell that, wow, okay, these numbers are big. And then I could be told by somebody, oh, those numbers compared to these numbers of this already existing machine. And then I can go, oh, wow, okay, I get that. But I can't sit there and tell you that myself from knowledge that I've collected, because I am not a digital foundry guy. Okay. I understand what's good and what I should buy because people tell me. So I'm not going to really be discussing that necessarily as much as I'm going to be talking about, next gen, man. So, one thing I want to, refrain from doing because the last 2 weeks in a row, I have fucking read out loud off of the page for these goddamn BioWare articles. And I'm sick of reading, and I shouldn't do it as much, but I have read so much about how poopy BioWare has been that I'm not going to necessarily read too much. But there are two or three things from this interview with Mark Cerny that I want to bring up. The first one is one of the biggest things about it. Oh, also, there is no title for this console yet. They announced this. They announced their plans kind of and everything, but it isn't officially called the PlayStation 5. I mean, you could assume it will be called the PlayStation 5. I can't really imagine they stray from the naming convention that they've stuck with for every generation. You know, there's a precedence there, whereas like Microsoft never really had one and neither had Nintendo. You know, they never really put numbers on the end of their stuff. So I have imagined it'll be called the PlayStation 5. We'll find out though. They can pull the rug out from under us. Everybody, every time next gen comes around, everybody kind of wants to hop on that dream of it just being called like the Nintendo or the PlayStation. Or this one's gonna be backwards compatible with everything. It'll just be called the Xbox. It's like, I think that's romantic. And, you know, everyone wanted the Switch to be called the Nintendo. First of all, I'm really glad it's not. The Switch is an amazing name for a piece of machine. But I can't imagine it's very easy to market something that's just called PlayStation. I mean, like, you know, all old people just walk in, I wanna buy the PlayStation. They didn't even call it that. They called it the Nintendo. So, you know, you don't wanna do that, I don't think. I don't think they would do that. But so some of the details that we got from this is that it's going to have an SSD. Sweet. Nice. It will be backwards compatible with at least PlayStation 4. He didn't comment any further than that. And that it will support PlayStation VR. Now, that's a big one. He announced that VR is very important to them. And that they have plans for VR in the future, but also that the current PSVR headset will work with the upcoming console, which is something that I have been saying I've wanted. You know, it makes a lot of sense because there's really not, like, the headset is just your eyeglasses into the specs that, or your eyeglasses into your current machine's VR capabilities. You know, so, like, whatever hardware is inside the PlayStation 5, I mean, your VR headset should be able to look at it. So, like, it makes sense, you know, when you consider that, you know, you could use old Vives with new stuff, you know. PCs are very modular anyway. It's a very bad comparison. But you know what I mean? VR is so new that, you know, I guess nobody really knew for sure. But it's great to hear. The only thing that's interesting, I mean, it has to be, right? Because it's backwards compatible with PlayStation 4 games. So you'd be able to play Astrobot on the PlayStation 5 with your current PSVR headset. But what I'm very curious about is if they keep the current PSVR headset compatible with new VR games, if PlayStation 5 VR games are compatible with this tech, does that mean that the tracking solutions for the next gen of PSVR will still kind of be similar with the PlayStation camera? Because, like, that's the only thing I could dog PSVR for. And that's the only VR headset I own. That's the only VR headset I have experience with. The tracking is pretty mediocre. You know, like, you run into a lot of drift issues. You run into just some wonkiness, some general, you can't turn 180 degrees around. You know what I mean? Like, you are kind of stuck fixed facing one direction. So I, you know, he says that the current PSVR headset will work with the upcoming console, but will it work with all future VR games? That remains to be seen. Because I am holding out hope for that PSVR 2 to be an inside-out tracking machine. No cameras, no fucking base stations, none of that stuff. Wireless, whatever the hell it takes. To make it so that the tracking is improved by like 200%, and I don't have to worry about boxes and cameras and whatever. You could just put it on a play. Because somebody's done a really good job working with their old peripherals, band-aided up against the PSVR for all these years, and they've put out remarkable experiences with them. So VR stuff in next gen is something that are the details that I want. I'm hungry for them because I know games are going to look better and stuff's going to load faster and all that stuff. But I am a VR maniac. It's what I love this gen. I very exciting that it will work with the next console, but I need details on that new headset. And I would really love it if it kind of came out with it. Give me a bundle. Please, please. Pretty please. But yeah. So it will release in 2020, is the supposed set release year of it, which is pretty much the year everybody has speculated for. It's kind of the year everyone has speculated for everything. You know what I mean? There's a lot of games coming out this year. A lot of, first party titles for Sony that, you know, stuff like The Last of Us and Ghost of Tsushima and Days Gone and all these things kind of puttering out the finale of the PlayStation 4. And, you know, the speculation of stuff like Death Stranding being cross-gen, potentially Ghost of Tsushima. But then there is the thing. This is the, you know, the big conversation that people want to have, and I've seen topics put up on Reset Era about this, you know, people talking just in person, out in the streets, everywhere I go, getting a gyro. All anyone's talking about is, are cross-gen ports now officially dead? Will we stop getting cross-gen ports early? Because that's always one of the biggest, you know, when the PlayStation 4 came out, we had Destiny, we had the Far Cry games, you know, these games, you know, Black Flag, these games have an old version and a new version, and you can upgrade to the new Battlefield 4, you know, upgrade to the new version, blah, 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 or this or that. And it's like kind of filling out that like early generation drought of games with games you've already owned on the previous console, but now it looks better. Will that still be a thing, or will, with backward, I mean, that makes no sense, right? Because with backwards compatibility, we could play those games. Will the PlayStation 5 allow for those games in a similar fashion to the way the Xbox One does backwards compatibility, where the Xbox One X will enhance 360 games? It'll make Red Dead Redemption 1 run in 4K. It'll enhance its textures. It'll do the same for like Assassin's Creed 2. You know, it's an amazing feature for backwards compatibility, to where it's like, oh, I'm not just playing this old game. I'm playing it, you know, on a more powerful machine, and I'm getting benefits from it. With, you know, so many cross-gen ports in the past, everyone saying, oh, this game's going to be cross-gen, or this game's going to be whatever. What if Death Stranding just comes out on the PlayStation 4 at the end of its life cycle, and yet you could put it into your PlayStation 5 and it runs as if it was released on PlayStation 5? You know, I can't imagine there's two SKUs for these games if the PlayStation 5 is going to be able to play these games, as you know, natively. Which is exciting, because the cross-gen port stuff sucks, but it's also exciting because that means, like, oh man, could I put God of War into this thing, you know? And will it just naturally run better, you know, on the unlocked frame rate mode from the Pro? You know, will we get Pro-like enhancements for games, but significantly, you know, enhanced, considering this thing is going to be more powerful than what we currently have by presumably a significant margin? Again, I don't know shit about specs. You can look up the specs yourself, look up Digital Foundry, I believe there's an article about them. They say stuff like, third generation Ryzen and 8 cores of a ZNM Zen 2 microarchitecture. And then there's the GPU, which is a Radeon Navi family, that will support ray tracing. Very interesting. That's another thing I want to talk about. Because this part of the article states, ray tracing is a staple of Hollywood visual effects and is beginning to worm its way into $10,000 high-end processors. No game console has been able to manage it. So ray tracing was that big feature that NVIDIA packed into their RTX cards, their 2080, 2070s, you know, all that new jazz. And a lot of people have had issues running that stuff. It's a hog of a feature, you know, frame rate wise. You know, you need a beefy son bitch to run it. So by this supporting ray tracing, does that mean all games will have it, or just like, oh, you know, the guys at Naughty Dog will figure out a way to get it working? You know, like, will we see it in Battlefield 5, you know, because it has ray tracing on PC, or the next Tomb Raider, or the current Tomb Raider, backwards compatible beefed, backwards beefed, a beefy, they gotta come up with a name for that. I mean, you just call it enhanced. I don't know why I'm trying to think of something so cute like that. But yeah, lots of exciting things. For that. But the specs, like I said, I don't know shit about them. I don't know anything about specs. So I wouldn't be able to really tell you how this thing would be priced. Which is the other hot topic that everyone's talking about. Because Cerny mentioned himself, I believe that we will be able to release it at a suggested retail price that will be appealing to gamers in light of its advanced feature set. So despite the specs of this thing being beefy or maybe better than people expected, and, you know, and despite it having features that, you know, are pretty fucking attractive, he thinks that they could, you know, make an appealing price for it. He was asked, does that mean it may cost a bit more? But what you're getting is well worth it. And Cerny said, that's about all I can say. So, yeah, that's all we know, about the details of the PlayStation 5 for right now. Exciting stuff. I'm curious when we'll get the full reveal, considering Sony is not at E3 this year. So which might explain why they decided to just, you know, fuck it, talk about it out in the open like this. But I'm excited. I'm excited that they're ticking a lot of the boxes that I like. Backwards compatibility was one of the big things that Sony fucked up with this year. Xbox wiped the floor with them with that feature. Granted, PS3, tough little nut to crack with its, you know, cell architecture and all that weird shit they tried to stuff in that box. Emulation for that might have been a bit tough. So in terms of emulation and backwards compatibility, Sony might have been in a little bit of a corner there. But going forward, it's nice to see them realize that it's important to people, especially in this era of games as a service, you know, where you have Overwatch on your PlayStation 4 and you have all your skins and your levels and all of your stuff, your unlocks and like Rainbow Six Siege and Fortnite. It would be fucking weird if these games, you know, and their current states and their current save data and, you know, all of your progress wouldn't be playable on the PlayStation 5. It would be a real fucking bummer. So it's nice that, like, Blizzard won't need to make Overwatch PS5. They can just go, hey, there it is. There's Overwatch on the PlayStation ecosystem. It exists. There's Rainbow Six on the PlayStation ecosystem, much like the PC, where, yeah, hardware gets better, but the game just kind of floats there forever. That's exciting. Because again, you know, everything's moving to games as a service and people are investing hours and dollars into this thing. So that's fun. And, the SSD is nice. Reading the article that Spider-Man loads in 0.8 seconds, is sick. That's going to be real exciting. Cause again, these games keep getting bigger and the scope of them keeps getting bigger. And the fact that Monster Hunter World 2 could potentially load in 5 seconds opposed to the 6 years in a day that it takes to load on the current PlayStation 4. That's exciting. That's exciting to me. Yeah. So I'm curious. Will it run games at 1080p 60 frames? Will it run games at 4K 60 frames? Will it run games at 4K 30? We'll find out. Everything and more in the future. Speaking of game consoles and announcements, this one, not so much new hardware, as much as it is a revision of a current one. Microsoft, this has been a rumor for a while, not for a while, maybe for a few weeks, to a month maybe. Microsoft officially announced their diskless Xbox One, Xbox One S. It'll be an all-digital version of the console, losing the disk drive and having a 1 terabyte hard drive, which seems a bit small for an all-digital system. Now, I would typically counter that and be like, well, you know, even if you're using discs, you know, the installation is still the same amount of space that, a digital install takes, because all it does is just dump the game from the disc onto your console. So you're not really saving space using discs, but you could install it quickly off the disc instead of redownloading. So making space by deleting stuff in this instance means that you'll always be redownloading these things. So 1 terabyte isn't as much as you think in this day and age. My PS4 Pro is 1 terabyte, and I'm always skirting the edge. I mean, I have a ton of games installed, mind you, but I have a ton of physical games as well. And like, when it comes time to like reinstall one, you know, the most inconvenient moment might be having to reinstall a patch. So yeah, I'm surprised they didn't go 2 terabytes there. You know, hard drive space isn't that much money anymore. You know, you can get, an external hard drive and hook it up to this, presumably, like you could every other Xbox One model, you know, and add a bunch of extra space for yourself. But, I mean, the whole point of this to me seems like it would be, oh, it's a cheaper alternative. You can lose the disk drive and the money it costs to make that, but have the same size hard drive. I don't know. interesting price. But, you know, I think an interesting idea in terms of seeing how this thing catches on. You know, we're moving into the all-digital future, as well as moving into the potential all-streaming dystopian future. You know, so these boxes without disk drives, you know, for fuck's sake, my PC doesn't have, I don't have a disk drive in my PC anymore. I have no use for it. You know, I don't burn CDs anymore. I don't install games off disk. So, I mean, you know, moving towards a model where they remove that cost and maybe use that effort and work to having more space for other things or whatever, is an interesting idea. I think it should always only ever be an alternative though to physical media. Because I mean, you know, it's just unfair to some people who live in certain areas, you know, who can't, participate in this. But for the people who want it, I mean, hey, if it's cost effective for you, if you like the price and everything, this comes out in May. I don't know if there's an exact date on this. May 7th. So yeah, keep an eye on for that. It's just called the Xbox One S All Digital Edition. It says here, interesting, Microsoft sets a suggested retail price, but specific pricing and offers vary by retailer, a spokesperson for Microsoft told Kotaku in an email. So they expect to maintain a $50 difference between the One S and the One S Digital, which is interesting because, like, all of the time, more often than not, the Xbox One S is around $200. You could find deals on that thing constantly. So, I mean, I would expect this thing to be hitting around $150 on holidays and stuff like that. It would be an attractive offer. It apparently also comes pre-installed with... Fuck, I closed the article. I know it was Sea of Thieves for sure. And it might have been Forza and Minecraft. So you get three games with the deal too, supposedly. Yeah. Wow, what? Forza Horizon 3? Microsoft. Bro. You got the new one out. I know maybe they don't want to... Oh my god. Auto-playing videos. I interrupt this podcast for one moment. Fucking stop it. Stop it with the auto-playing videos, for the love of God. Not only auto-playing videos with the volume slider set to max. You're assaulting me every time I open your website. ESPN is the worst for that. You go to ESPN and check a score, and you're just getting punched in the fucking throat with the audio. So it comes preloaded with Minecraft, Forza Horizon 3, interesting, and Sea of Thieves. So three games included in that deal. So cool. Interesting. So that about does it for hardware talk. Let's go ahead now and throw it over and have an ad read from one of our sponsors for this week's episode of Permadeath Weekly, ForGoods.com. ForGoods.com takes the experience of visiting gamer doctors and removes the embarrassing, anxious waiting room visits and in-person harassment. All it takes to get started is a quick entrance survey detailing your preferred video game difficulty, and ForGoods will match you up with real gamer doctors waiting to use their years of gamer expertise to not only consult, but diagnose the issues causing you to cheat yourself out of the good holy crusade that is being a legitimate gamer. ForGoods.com believes in its product and its team of real-life gamer MDs so much that it's giving my listeners their first consultation for free using the code PERMAWEEKLY at account creation. That's code PERMAWEEKLY, P-E-R-M-A, weekly. Remember, gaming isn't for everyone. It's just for gamers. So act now, get help, and become a gamer for goods. Huh. Now, admittedly, I hadn't read this copy until we got it in this afternoon. For goods, I don't know much about you. I don't have time to really look into it right now. I want to thank you for sponsoring the show, but, maybe this is a sham, actually. What the fuck's a gamer doctor? Is gaming that serious? Are there people with PhDs in gaming? And why are these gamer doctors such gatekeepers? I don't know. I have, I have not personally used this product, for I am still stuck in Sekiro. So maybe I would need a diagnosis. I don't know. But to me, I think gaming is for everybody. So hopefully this doesn't hurt our partnership, for goods. But, if it does, I'm sorry. But I, don't really agree with the vibes of your messaging. At all, even. Is there a WebMD for this kind of thing? You know, every hint you Google is just, you have game cancer. The fuck is this service? And why would going to a gamer doctor in person lead to you being harassed in public? Wouldn't the same thing just carry over to the internet? Like, I don't know. I'm going to talk to my guy who sets these things up for us now and see if he has vetted the program or, you know, if he knows anything about it. This is the first time. I listen to a lot of podcasts, and this is the first time that I've heard this copy uttered in my life, heard of the product at all even. But there is a product code, a coupon code, if you want to go check it out, I guess. You know, you want to be the guinea pig who gets screamed at by a gamer MD. fuck if I know, man. I don't know. This might be the first and last time you ever hear an ad read for goods.com. And I want to say, the funniest part about this is that it's spelled G-U-D, for goods, for good, for goods. Look, guys, I don't know much about this business, but, maybe loosen up, you know? You sound like a glorified game fack. Except you got a PhD in the note section of an instruction booklet. Anyway, back on with the news. Let's see. Which story are we on next? So, this week, pretty harsh story out of Paris. Notre Dame caught fire, which, you know, absolutely beautiful building. Just one of those just incredible feats of architecture. And one of those things that, you know, in terms of, you know, the ingrained culture of a society, you know, it's one of those things you expect to kind of stand there forever. You never think about these things going away. You know, you think of Big Ben or, you know, you think of the Statue of Liberty, you know, you think of these impactful landmarks that just run through the veins of their respective nations, and to see one of them go down the way that Notre Dame did was just horrifying to look at, and so sad. You know, such a beautiful building. I've never been there myself. I have friends who have been there who say it's breathtaking. And you could see that from pictures. You know, these are one of those things you could just appreciate by looking at it and going, wow, man, how did they make this shit back then? Like, it's incredible. So seeing the pictures of its devastation is just like, man, like, you know, and, you know, there are efforts to rebuild it, but I mean, no matter how much you restore it, it's not the same, you know, but it's an effort that you have to go towards preserving a piece of your history. And to help with that, Ubisoft is giving away free copies of Assassin's Creed Unity on Uplay. And I know you might laugh when you hear me read that headline, but Assassin's Creed Unity is set in Paris, and they are doing this in support of Notre Dame and to donate towards the cause of rebuilding it. Let me find out. Yeah. It has currently donated $565,140 to the cause in American dollars. 500,000 euros. The little icon next to the money, I never know what it is. I suppose it's euros, because, they're France. Or it's a franco. I don't know anything about it. You know, I'm giving this big speech about cultural significance, and I don't know what that is. I just called it a franco. So yeah, Ubisoft is supporting the cause, donating money, and giving you a chance to visit, their rendition of Paris, France. Which I'm gonna say, Unity came out like a hunk of steaming shit out the gate. I played that game years after it came out. I beat that game after its patches and whatever. That game kind of rules. And I think, you know, the setting is beautiful. I actually really enjoyed my time with that game. So while it's free, you know, give it a look. They have some links on their Twitter as well, for details on, their charity efforts and all that stuff. You can check all of that out. I'll give it a look. Next up. Oh man, big week for the Nintendo Switch. One piece of news I'm not really going to go into this week is the Persona 5 Joker, stuff for Smash. That was slated to come out today as I'm recording this. I wanted to come home and play it before I recorded this. Now, I technically could have said, Bill, how about you just record tomorrow? But, you know, the way that I do this, record on Wednesdays, edit Thursdays, release Fridays. That's how it does. I might miss some stories, here and there, but it's the easiest way to work on this on a full-time schedule. But I wanted to come home and pop open Smash and just kind of play a few rounds as Joker, because last night, if you're listening to this on Friday, 3 nights ago, Nintendo put out a video detailing the next big Super Smash Bros. Update, Update 3.0, which comes with, you know, if you have the Fighter's Pass, it comes with Persona 5's Joker, it comes with a stage builder, it comes with a really cool, like, video editing feature that lets you upload clips and pictures and shit to, like, the Smash World thing, and a lot of really neat updates to that. But that update isn't supposed to hit until, like, 11 p.m. my time tonight, I'm not going to get a chance to really check it out too much. You can hear my thoughts on that on the next episode of Permadeath Podcast, where all three of us will have likely spent some time playing as Joker. But besides that, the Switch got a new firmware update this week. Came out on Monday. System update 8.0. It comes with a few things, some nice quality of life stuff. It comes with some new avatars for your Switch profile. But one really neat feature that I came upon today, from Kotaku, they had an article about it that it added a zoom feature to the Switch in handheld mode, which is awesome. I think one of the things, all the speculation on the new Switch, the Switch Pro and the Switch handheld only version, whatever the fuck Nintendo's planning for the end of this year. When the Switch first came out, it's like, nice, the screen's pretty big. But the more games you play on it, there are instances where, you know, a lot of games play really well in handheld mode, but sometimes the text is just a bit much. You know, maybe it's just my old eyes. I don't know. But like some games, certain instances, even in Breath of the Wild, you know, in your inventory, it's tough to see sometimes, you know, and, you know, this is a common issue for a lot of people. But they added a feature where you could kind of, you know, zoom in on a section of the screen, and then zoom out. So if you're like, oh man, what the fuck does that say? What am I about to eat in this game? Is it going to kill me? I don't know. Let's see. You could turn that into, let me zoom in and check it out. Oh, okay, cool. It won't kill me. Instead, it's going to make me beat this game instantly. Cheat myself. So that's cool. That's neat. So if you have a Nintendo Switch, and you haven't turned it on in a while, go ahead and check out, the new firmware. Cause maybe you stopped playing your Switch cause you couldn't read anything. You know, instead of going to the eye doctor, you decided to give up. But now you don't have to give up. You could zoom in. That might be especially helpful on Phoenix Wright. I haven't really played in handheld mode. I've just been playing it on my monitor. But I'll have to give it a shot. I haven't actually turned the Switch on since the firmware update came out. I meant to because I wanted to update my avatar to some sweet Yoshi ones. But alas, I have not. The final story of the week is an update to the Judgment Face Saga, with Pierre Taki's cocaine allegations. You know my feelings on this. You know I think this practice sucks a big one. They have announced the new face of their game, and they have decided not to model him after anybody at all. They have digitally created this character's face, and I think it looks pretty bad. I'm not going to lie to you. I think you look at the two pictures side by side, and it's obvious they tried to retain the spirit of the face that, the face of Pierre Taki, of this real guy. And it just looks like a bad digital rendition of a real person instead of a well scanned face, which is what these Yakuza games are known for. You know, are the way that they do the facial animations in these games and the way that they scan these actors in, you know, it's so significant to their cutscenes, man. And like the difference between a main character and the quality of their face scan and a random thug, you know, is pretty big. You know, like you could tell that this character is somebody important when it's scanned off a real guy. So, I mean, I guess I'll see it in motion, but looking at the screenshots is like, man, you know what? You made it so close, but it looks worse. You should have just kept his fucking face. Now, again, this is better than no game at all. Ultimately, what's better than all of this is just don't fucking touch it. I have to wonder if they decided, you know, not to play with bad luck here and they didn't face scan a guy for the redo in case another guy decides to, you know, be into drugs as well. Or even worse, be a pedophile. But then again, he might get to stay in the game. So yeah, update on that. New faces out there. They're also doing the voice for him over. So yeah, check it out. Sucks. But at least we're getting the game. You know, so whatever. That about does it for this week's edition of Permadeath Weekly. You can, as always, follow us on Twitter at, sorry, I'm a little deflated reading that news about Judgment. Bums me out, man. You know, it just looks like such a patch job, man. Fuck it, eh? But as always, you can find the show. Let me get my energy back up. Let me step back up. Find us on Twitter at Perma Podcast. You can find me on Twitter at Peppered Ham. You can leave a comment down below if you're watching this on YouTube, or send us an email at permadeathpodcast@gmail.com. Find us on Discord. All those links are down below in the YouTube description box. If you're listening to this on whatever podcast service you're privy to, go ahead and search us up on the internet to find those links, because it's not really, I don't really know how practical it is to give you all these links via that. I can read them out loud, I guess. No, we're not going to do that. Seek us out, find us on Twitter, find us on Discord. All those links are out there for you. Let us know what you think of the show. Let us know if there's anything you'd want us to talk about on Permadeath Podcast, or if there's anything you'd want me to do to this show. Permadeath Weekly feedback is always appreciated. In fact, I need it, man. I need it. Human beings learn. That's why I'm taking that podcasting class. So far, they taught me not to say fuck. I failed that lesson. When my professor listens back to this episode, I'm going to get owned. But, you know, we live and learn, you know, that's what this stuff's all about. That's what podcasts are all about, baby. We learn the news, and we learn how to, when I woke up when I was 7 years old, you know, I was going into second grade, you know, I was like, I'm going to learn. And I'll never forget the moment that I looked at my teacher, Mrs. Murphy. I looked at her, she looked at me. And she just kind of looked at my pants, looked at my Velcroed shoes, and she just said, you just look like you're going to be a podcaster. And she was so disgusted, and she kind of spit on the floor, which was, I was taken aback by that. You know, teacher spitting on the floor.